A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Couple texts here, follow up from the last segment. The kicker guy texted in, said he's 6'4 and he used to be a kicker in high school. All right, you know what, maybe.
Maybe
you could do it.
Shania Twain in her hit song, "That Don't Impress Me Much." So you're 6'4", but you're saying that you have the touch? No.
We got a bunch of cornhole. People saying they can master that in a year.
Bags?
Yeah. How do you define
that? They think they can master cornholing?
I mean, yeah, I think I could also do that in a year. Because I'm actually, that's the one.
Master cornholing?
I can master cornholing in a year. The fantasy football group chat is hating on me right now. Said I'm wrong.
About Madden?
About golf.
Oh. I forgot about the golf one. That one's worse than Madden.
Just a lot of outlandish proclamations
I said
by
I could
Joe.
Basically have jobs that I could start tomorrow.
The best is that Joe has the plausible deniability of, well, I can't do this because I have a child. However.
Yeah, that's giving you like an extra like 10% boost in your abilities where it's like just having the weights around your ankles that is having a child.
Right. So having a child holding you back.
I can say whatever I want. I can say I can accomplish anything.
Excuses are a hint of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's what it says at the Shorecrest Preparatory School Fighting Chargers weight room.
I have one more follow-up for this for you, Paul, because you're taller than us. How much like training, lifting weights would it take for you to be able to dunk on a like consistent basis?
I don't think it's happening at age 35.
Okay, you missed
my springs are not there. I used to be able to get both hands above the rim, but the ball would not join me. Like I could hang on the rim with both hands, but the ball, I could never get the ball quite over the top. Had I lifted with legs more often than I did, maybe I could have done it. But at age 35, the spring is not what it used to be.
That's fair. Eric, I can't read your text, but it made me laugh. I'll tell Paul. Paul, you can
I saw
it.
That one. I laughed too. I mean, I already am a master at that.
Yeah, man. You're behind the
eight ball.
I'm
the biggest master of
that. Eric in Jersey Village, though, he says he served in the Army National Guard from 87 to 94, and he said anyone with the right training can shoot a gun. That's fair.
That's why, you know, like we had guys drafted into World War II. I feel like if I was given training with something that I already feel like I'm all right at, with no experience in it pretty much whatsoever, I feel like I'd be good at shooting. Would I be good at shooting people coming after me and trying to kill me? Probably not, but I don't know.
Anything else stand out from Dana Brown today that for you? I was thinking back to the C-minus grade, and I'm getting like more annoyed with it the more I think about it. Just because the way he talks about Alex Bregman, that he essentially pins this like the Astros struggles on Alex, saying that if he gets going, the lineup will get going, the team will get going. But then he gives the team a C-. It's like, that seems wrong. That to me seems like the team has an A and Alex has an F, and it's Alex's fault. Like, maybe I'm reading too much into the Alex Bregman quote. I didn't hear it. I'm reading quotes on Twitter. So, like, the tone of this obviously could be missing. But it does seem very targeted of, like, when he says, Alex Bregman, he needs to get hot. He's our veteran. This team will roll when Bregman rolls. What about Yordan Alvarez, who's hitting 188 in his last 100 at-bats?
I'm sure that response came, though,
to a Bregman question.
Right.
Yes.
So I think you got to look at it through that prism as opposed to thinking to yourself, Dana Brown is blaming Alex Bregman for all of the struggles, especially considering there's still optimism at the very end of that where he's saying, yeah, we believe that Bregman's going to be able to turn it around. So I don't think he's pinning it on one guy. I think he was just responding to a specific question asked about his issues. The problem is right now in a radio interview that you're doing on a weekly basis, are you going to ask a question about every single player that's underachieving? You really do not have time right now.
You need 2 hours with them.
There's Yordan. There's Josh Hader. There's Brian Abreu. Like, that's just 4. Let's assume that Dana Brown talks everyone's ear off. That's a minute for each of those.
Yeah.
You get 10 minutes.
But he was when he was one of the things he was asked about too with Alex though was the lineup, and he said that's a Joe Espada question, that Espada has the flexibility to move Bregman down. Now, Alex obviously is in like what below 200 now at this point in the season. They've moved him around a little bit, but I think the question becomes: do you move him down in the lineup? And then Jeremy Branham tweeted
the answer is yes to that question.
Yes, you definitely move Alex Bregman down. Jeremy Pena should be batting second starting tonight.
That should have happened a week ago.
Yeah. And then Jeremy Branham tweeted this out, and you saw this first. I also thought this was interesting, that Jeremy said, yes, lineup construction matters. He thinks that the lineup construction is overrated. But the Astros had won 4 out of 5 and scored 12, 8, 10, 2, and 8 runs in those games. And then Espada flipped Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker in the lineup. Since then, the Astros have lost 3 out of 4. They've scored 5, 0, 4, and 3 runs in those games. Now, You know, pitching's part of the problem here in the story still. Like, it's not just the lineup to kind of what Jeremy is saying, but, like, they had something working, and then Joe Espada changed it. And it does seem that he's willy-nilly about what he changes, when he changes, why he changes. He changed Abreu first, right? He moved Abreu down in the order, but he's moving Bregman up, down, left, right, but not all the way down. It seems this is where I get the questions about Joe Espada as a manager of the Astros.
It's micro versus macro, though. And the micro issue for you is Bregman specifically in the middle of this lineup. Sure, to Jeremy's point, changing the lineup can disrupt rhythm. But the amount of hula hoops that we have to jump through, red tape that we have to cut to not disrupt a baseball player and his routine makes me look at baseball players and just roll my eyes. Like, we need to do all of these very specific things to help you with your routine every game, and all of a sudden changing the lineup when someone is hitting poorly is going to disrupt the routine of other guys in the lineup. I mean, if that is the case for baseball players, then I don't know, maybe they should all be seeing therapists to help them with their obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah, I don't think that should matter at this point, because they all know how bad it is. Like, does it really matter for Kyle Tucker who's batting second and third?
It shouldn't.
I think he's proved it doesn't.
He's been hitting well, right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter who's hitting fifth, because it changes. It doesn't matter who's hitting eighth, ninth for Jose Altuve in front of him or who's hitting second. He's still been very good this year.
And if you want to look at this sample size as well, also keep in mind that the last 4 games, the Astros have gone up against 2 of the best pitching teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. The Yankees and the Mariners.
And they've worked you.
So that's going to disrupt the sample size a little bit. And also, I mean, shoot, the Guardians, they've been having a very good year to this point. Mm-hmm. Now, you did score runs against the Guardians, but the last 4 games, you've gone up against 2 of the best pitching teams in the American League, statistically.
Yes, but they're dominating you. That's the thing. It's like they're not just beating you. They are dominating. Like they are, like, another performance last night where...
I mean, they got a home run in the first inning. I don't think last night was as bad as some of the stuff that we saw in Seattle.
And they had 3
like,
hits, Paul.
Saturday, yeah, you're right. Saturday was worse.
Oh, Saturday was definitely worse because they had 2 hits. So they improved.
Yeah.
They went from 2 hits on Saturday and 3 hits on Tuesday. Mm. But like that's the thing, too, is like that's why like I don't care about Alex Bregman's lineup construction and their feelings and these things. I'm like... You had 3 hits, and one of them was a home run from Kyle Tucker in the first. Like, your other hits came from Trey Cabbage and Jake Myers. Those are minor league baseball players. Like, Yordan Alvarez is hitting .248. Alex Bregman's hitting .195. Like, I get, you know, when you look at them big picture-wise, they're at the bottom of baseball in terms of ERA. And last night, of course, the game got away from them as Verlander was terrible. It's still the lineup is... And that's where it's – I don't care about construction because it's just no matter what they do, it's not working.
You're speaking to me in grunge right now. It's just dark, depressing.
down in a hole, and I don't know when I'll be safe. Like, that's every word that came out of your mouth about the Astros. I didn't hear you. I just heard Alice in Chains.
I wasn't expecting that one. There was things I was expecting today. You singing Alice in Chains was not one.
Something in the way, Bregman. Something in the way. Yeah.
Any chance Joe Spada gets fired at the end of the season? How are you feeling today?
Who cares about anything?
We dismissed that weeks ago.
Nothing matters, Joe.
It's okay.
No, nothing matters. Everything's dumb. They have turned me back
into a towards Blue my addiction. State watcher.
They have turned me back towards my addiction. I mean, the baseball gods are not.
What's after Blue Mountain State?
I'm stopping watching shows again. I'm going to watch.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Meditate?
I mean, the NBA playoffs are on.
I'm going to master shooting a gun. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on that.
It would objectively be, you know.
It'd be more fun than watching baseball.
A lot more fun.
I feel like being so upset at something that you master shooting a gun is not a good.
You know what? I didn't think about that.
It's not. I don't know. I feel like we might have to have a conversation with you. There might be some lessons.
Like, Paul, enjoy watching the Celtics. They're only going to play three more games in this round of the playoffs.
Honestly, I'm just so scared that they're going to lose.
What?
I'm so scared.
You don't have to be scared.
What?
It just looks like they have such an easy track to the finals. If they don't get there, like, I will only be disappointed, basically. If they win, I'm going to be like, they should have won. They should have won by now. This is what happens when you grow up a Patriots fan and became an Astros fan.
I mean, the East is just not that good. Last night's game also, neither of those games were great.
The Knicks could maybe give you a headache as you win in 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be like a hard
but the Celtics
six.
Also aren't playing every night, and the Celtics do not help me fill the 3 hours of a radio show and a potential live stream as far as content right now. You know?
I mean, they could.
No one wants to hear about Boston sports being successful again.
We can talk about all of the NBA playoffs.
No one here wants to hear that because this city randomly hates basketball, even though it's one of the better basketball cities there is, based off the Cougs and based off the Rockets being back and off the Rockets' history, having 2 titles and having some really good players in their history.
And basically being good for 15 straight years.
Yeah. It's crazy. The city is weirdly, like, not really into basketball.
They have, like, what, 3 bad years? And just like, nope, out.
See ya. Yeah, that's where I'm at, though. Like, you're watching TV.
I'm not. They're feeding my addiction,
lies.
Though.
I'm done. I really took a break from, like, watching the NBA playoffs because I was just, like, way entrenched in the Astros. Whether I was watching games or working on games in the past. I've watched more NBA playoffs this year than I have in, like, 4 years. Because I'm just like, yeah, we'll throw on the Mavs game. Like, this game's not good either. But
we are so effed in July.
No, we're not.
So effed. What? The Rockets aren't going to do anything big either. We're going to be like Texas training camp takeaways. Yeah, we're going to like making a big deal out of some highlight reel that goes off in practice.
This is something that we haven't had to dust off, I think, in like a couple years, Paul. Should we start counting down days to the NFL season?
That's 120.
120?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. So
normally we start at 100. In the past, we started at 100, and like I think actually last year we started at like 94 or something.
How about countdown to the start of the Houston Texans season? Once the schedule is released,
yeah,
we'll do a countdown.
Okay.
I think we have to.
And in addition to doing an NFL segment, we're probably just going to, let's be honest.
It's
going to just become all NFL.
It's going to become an NFL-heavy show and then trade rumors, whether it's Astros trading away players or the Rockets trading 4 players.
I don't think that we'll have the game-to-game breakdown. I mean, even today, look, we kind of talked about the game once.
We tuned out.
Game bad.
Yeah. We stopped watching, both of us, in the fifth.
I feel like my 3-year-old could analyze the Astros right now.
Would he throw a donut?
It was a pretzel.
Or a pretzel. I saw you posted pictures to your Instagram of the boy with the donut, and I wanted to comment, like, did he throw that too?
That one, no, because he ate all.
Ate it all. Okay, so he likes donuts, doesn't like pretzels.
In a 2-minute car ride, he ate an entire donut. It was impressive. He scarfed it.
Dang, that is a lot.
Wife, not happy I told that story. Fun fact.
Why not?
Did you tell her you told that story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait a second.
She was like, it makes it seem like he's a bad kid. I'm like, no.
He's three.
I'm like, it's a funny story.
He's three. It's a funny story.
Yeah. I was like, it's part of the gig. If you ever listened, you would know.
Yeah. We can't have Joe with the ability to not bring any of his personal life to the table.
I always tell those stories.
Talking about us being desperate for content. Like,
yeah. Dad stories.
Yeah.
With Joe.
You better start handing cheesy pretzels honestly, to that kid every time you're in public.
He's getting potty trained. So, like, there's about to be bad stories coming. Okay?
We might need to do our own version of Bill Simmons' show, Parent Corner, because, yeah.
I think we got to do what we originally talked about, too. Rewatch, like, while they do the rewatchables. We're going to do a book club this summer with Playmakers.
Yeah. A TV club?
TV club.
TV show club. Yeah. TV show club with Playmakers.
Yeah.
TV show club with, or movie, sports movie club.
Yeah.
Sports documentary club. Honestly, yeah, we might need to have a club meeting every single day of
this
the week.
This day in Houston sports history.
Truly, though. Truly, I mean, look, my dating content, that's out.
I can't get a date
to save my life.
Yeah, I know. Like, I feel like all of a sudden, like, this was last summer, past summer.
I'm not kidding. Like, outside of the date that I had a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, but Paul,
this
you're
is
a
about
virgin.
As bad as my dating life
has ever
been.
What do you expect?
That's true. But even there are some days as a virgin, an honorable made man at 35. There at least were some times where I had a little bit of interest, you know?
Yeah.
But right now, it is bad. I am just getting, like, non-answered by legitimately.
Are you back on the dating apps?
No, I'm not getting back
on. Well, maybe get back on.
I don't want to get back
Change it up, Paul.
No, again, I'm separating myself from things that lead to addiction, which would be Instagram, TikTok,
yep.
Video games,
yep.
Binge-watching TV shows, uh-huh. And the dating apps as well. The Astros are turning me back to those
things. How many of those things did you turn back to last night?
Just Instagram and TV shows and
video games.
Fallout for like 30 minutes. I will give myself some credit. I didn't go way too into the...
Because the Astros lose by 10 tonight. Are you going to get back on the dating apps because you're so bored?
I mean, the good thing tonight is I have a Chili Boys date. So we will probably be watching the NBA. We're going to Chili's. It's me and four of my
friends.
This
is the way you say it. It's so
Chili's
funny.
Boys. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, having some I won't be partaking in the skillet queso because I don't like cheese, but a little skillet queso, probably some chicken crispers. Maybe I'll do the baby back ribs.
Good call.
You know, probably not going to do the
Southwest egg rolls.
I can't.
They're so good.
I can't do their margaritas, the Presidentes. They're dreadful. I'm sorry. Sorry,
I mean,
Chili's.
Not, I mean, they're not from Highway Cantina, so.
No, they're not from the Highway Cantina. It's basically like just drinking, like, acid reflux initiation.
you know what? It's so funny. I just remember this. Like, talking about the, who has the rougher stretch, Paul or Bregman from 409 Josh?
Well, at least he's hitting 200.
He's hitting 195.
At least he's hitting 195.
Are you hitting 195?
I'm hitting zero. I'm not kidding, dude. I think over the weekend, how many people did I text?
Okay.
I did not get responses from.
Or is it going to go long here?
0 for 6. 0 for 6.
Okay. Are these like you up? Question mark?
No,
like
they're 2 not you up.
Okay. Okay.
They're not you up.
Trying to get clarification.
No, none
on like
of them
what
were that lazy.
We're 0 for 6.
No.
Like, is this 2 a.m. hookup?
No.
Is this like.
No.
Can I take you to a fancy dinner?
No.
Just yo.
You're Jose Abreu in the
yeah, what yeah.
In
the
Florida
only person
right
that's
now.
Respond has friend zoned me. Like that's where we're at. Does that count as a sacrifice fly?
What's up, bud? What you want to talk about?
What would Dana Brown say about your skills?
C minus.
He would give me a C plus. Maybe an A.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but you're so damn handsome, Paul. Don't give up.
See, I feel like that's why you need to go back to the dating apps. It's like your version of going to West Palm Beach for Jose Abreu. He's got to go back to what was work. You know, you got to find, work out the kinks.
Well, I can work on the thing I've already mastered, right? Like from that one texter.
Yeah. All right, we're not going to break. We're going to go along here. It's 24. So Austin Rivers thinks that 30, like at least 30 NBA players could play in the NFL. What do you think about this?
I think it's crazy he said that because per Philip Dorsett, Austin Rivers, I believe when asked about playing basketball back in the day, said that he quit after one practice.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that there's a lot of NBA players who are perhaps the most high percentile of all of the high percentile athletes. We're talking about guys who are six plus,
mm-hmm.
who are yoked, shredded, fast. They can jump high. They're bigger than everybody. So they certainly have an edge when it comes to the actual, I guess, prototype that you're working with. But there is something to be said for the toughness of a football player. And
yeah.
I don't think that everybody has that toughness to persevere when you're getting absolutely lit up there, to get back up, to shake off a concussion that you probably suffered while your head's ringing and going back in for the next play. You do have to be, to an extent, crazy as a football player. And in a league where there's so much flopping,
mm-hmm.
I certainly can see some NBA players hanging in there on a flag football field. But if we're talking about like actual physical contact that includes 300-pound linemen in mm-hmm. the trenches where the field can't really turn into a track like it can in flag football where it's 7-on-7, and you got linebackers out there and you got safeties headhunting and you got all sorts of just big dudes out there, I think a lot of basketball players would go home.
The only like credence I guess you give to it is that there are Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez. There are guys who had successful or good college basketball careers that translated into elite football players. There aren't really guys that were elite football players that become basketball players. Now you have guys like DeAndre Hopkins, was on scholarship at Clemson for basketball and football, chose football, obviously. But like Anthony Edwards, he would translate fully confident. Like not LeBron anymore, not Russell Westbrook anymore. My guess is he's probably right about the number. That there are probably about 20 to 30 guys that I think today could play corner, safety, wide receiver in the NFL, maybe a handful of tight ends.
But would they be good teammates on top of that? That's the next element of this.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think that a lot of the ball-dominant players in the NBA, if they're being sent from the NBA straight to the NFL, even if they were talented enough to play wide receiver or some of those other positions, I don't think they would be able to handle not getting the ball. I think that they would be the bigger divas than some of the diva wide receivers that we see out
there. So
they'd
be worse than Diggs.
Yes. Yes, I don't think that's a debate. I think they would be worse. And again, I kind of would get it. I mean, you're moving yeah. from playing basketball to this. But to go straight into the NFL from this, I'm sorry. There are skills in the NFL that are pretty important. Catching a basketball is a lot easier than catching a football. It is. Just is.
I'm thinking of Luka as like a like Dallas Cowboys tight end now. Just like being a Jason Witten type.
He looks like he's so doughy. He's probably a center.
To be honest. He's a guard. He's like a pulling guard.
He's a guard. Like
good footwork. Okay.
Yeah, there's not.
He might be a kicker.
If
that physique.
Oh, now
maybe
that's
it's closer to 10. But I do think like there are quite a few guys that could translate. But vice versa, though, there are plenty of NFL players who could play in the NBA right now. Like I saw Will Compton tweeting up, like finding some videos. He had this one from T. Higgins from when he was in high school. He was dunking from the free throw line.
But the height problem is what the football players are going
to. Yeah, it's mostly your wide receivers.
Yeah, the NFL for NFL players to play in the NBA, like only three positions are available
yeah,
to
yeah.
them.
They're pretty much
for
all 90%
of them.
Guards.
Yeah, they all would have to be point guards and shooting guards, and it's like T. Higgins was good in high school. It's like cool.
Yeah,
so a lot of guys were.
So was Allen Iverson.
A lot of guys were really good at high
school. So was Rajon Rondo. Like both of those guys were great quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's like half of the top 10 picks don't make the league in the actual NBA draft. Like, it is. I do notice that less NFL, because this was just a thing that like every NFL player, or retired NFL player, like this became their day on Twitter where it honestly became hard to use Twitter for a while because it was just a whole bunch of like people being like, no, not this guy. But Yeah, I don't think I saw anyone arguing the second half of what Austin Rivers said.
No, where, there really weren't.
Because there's not room for like Charles Oakley's in the NBA anymore.
No.
Where it's like you kind of have to be good at basketball to play in the NBA. There's no like enforcers where it's like you could talk yourself into, you know, Will Anderson Jr. being able to just be like a tough, hard-nosed power forward who like clotheslines you and let you know that the pain isn't for little guys. It's like, but there's no one in the league that's like that.
I did very much enjoy watching the Draymond Green playing tight end at Michigan State highlights resurfacing because he sucked at football. For someone that talks so much trash,
really, like, he wasn't good.
He looks incredibly slow, like coming out of his thing. I'll send it.
It looks like when if football teams like invite like someone else over, like a actor or something over to play football, and they like put him in the full pads and stuff. Like he looks like someone who just has never played football before.
There was a time where I filled in on a basketball team. Up in Seattle, where everyone on the team was like 6'4", 6'5". They brought me in as a sub. I'm terrible at basketball. I can't believe I made a shot. I made 2 threes that game, but it was like 2 for 5. No one wanted me to have the ball. Each time I took the shot, no one respected it. But I will say that while I was out there, I 100%, as an ex-football player, was better about rebounding, hustling to the ball, and playing defense on a physical level that drew a lot of complaining and whining. And we're talking about a 5'11", 185-pound person bumping into some of these guys and getting met with people who were 4 to 5 inches taller than me, stuff like that. Like basically just soft stuff. I think there's a lot of players like that in basketball that do not have that. I want to, one, fight through contact,
yeah,
or two, effing light people up mentality.
There's very, very few.
There's a sickness in football. It's in hockey to a degree too. There's some laxers who have it as well. There is a desire to hurt people in that sport that's put into the game. And it's one of the few places where you could legally kill someone, essentially. And basketball players, for the most part, outside of the goons who are barely good at it to begin with, does not have a lot of guys, in my opinion, that have that. It's not to say that there's nobody who has it, but you know, the flopping epidemic that we see these days, you're expecting those guys to go straight from this league into that league. And hold up, I am very skeptical about that.
Was J.J. Watt a soft boy when he responded to Austin Rivers' tweet? We'll discuss that next because it's time for Soft Boys here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Guys, it's fantastic stuff. You know what I do whenever I need a drink after a long day? Pull out that bottle of Amber Pendleton goodness, 2 fingers worth with a spherical rock and a cocktail glass, and I'm going to be feeling great. Pendleton whiskey is cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood, made with the finest northern grains, barrel-aged in American oak. You blend it all together and you get something that's going to satisfy your inner cowboy. You can get bottles at pendletonwhiskey.com. You can order them through Drizzly, or you can find them at your local liquor store. It's fantastic stuff. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
You know who's not soft? Wilson Contreras. I'd like to put that out there. See what happened to him, Paul?
What happened to him?
He broke his forearm. He's out for 6 weeks. Because he reached too far to catch the pitch, and JD Martinez swung the bat and hit his forearm.
Oh.
Yeah. You could hear like it fracture. You could hear it hit his arm. It was pretty gross. So not a soft boy. You know who is a soft boy?
Well, wait, did he leave the game?
He's out for 6 weeks, so yes. I mean, his arm's pretty soft. It's not fully broken, it's just fractured.
Oh, come on.
got to catch.
It was so no bone poking out the skin? Come on.
Yeah.
Wrap that thing up.
It's not like the Louisville player. Yeah. The NBA, soft. Soft on Jamal Murray.
They were very soft on Jamal Murray. He got an $100,000 fine for throwing a heating pad and a towel onto the court in the middle of the Nuggets' loss to the Timberwolves. I feel like this has to be a result of the NBA thinking to themselves, we would prefer to have a series that is not going to be over in four games that features Anthony Edwards and Nikola Jokic.
Or it is just like you end the series when you suspend them, because the Nuggets will likely lose to go down 0-3.
Yeah.
Or 3-1 or something like that if it's suspended for two. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. I doubt they would have done two.
Yeah, no one. I mean, you basically have to throw a punch in it to get suspended for two playoff games. Like,
yeah.
Like, you have to do something crazy.
I'm just surprised because while I know, like, what he did was very stupid.
No way.
Like, John Morant got, like, what, like 35 games between the two suspensions, I think it is? Like, 33 games?
But that was for not just one incident. With John Morant, he got eight games
the first suspension. It was 25 the second.
Well, it was a... I think it was, like, an indefinite where you have to, like, go to counseling.
Rehab in Florida.
I'm surprised, like, John Morant, like, for, like, that. And then you have a... Like, throwing something at a referee gets a fine.
But with Jaw...
There's not something, like, a little more balanced between those two things.
But with Jaw, it's, like, 13 different things. It wasn't just...
That's true.
One.
Yeah, it was hey, chill out, man.
It was...
And a... Because the 8-game was kind of like, hey, there's, like, three things going on here. Like, chill out.
It did seem light.
And then he came back. He played in the playoffs. And
this
then,
is soft.
And then in the middle of the playoffs in, like, May. It was, like, around this time after that. He went on Instagram Live again with a gun. And that's when he got slapped with 25.
It's the Astros, man. The Astros drove John Morant back to his addiction, which is playing with guns. Much like the Astros are driving me back to my addiction.
Let me ask you. So...
of video games and streaming television.
I think then Paul's soft.
What? For not giving you
having any addiction?
Because you're letting the Astros push you into addiction? Are you a soft
one? Damn, dude. I guess if Joe thinks that people that are dealing with addiction are soft, then
that's what you said.
So
it's just
fine.
Blue Mountain State.
It's fine. You're drawing me.
It's not like it's all.
You're saying I'm soft for not for having an addiction, so it's fine.
For watching television,
it's a real addiction. Who are you to frown on my addiction? If people can be gambling addicts and use that as an excuse, who are you to frown on my television?
Watching television from the 2000s,
hey,
addiction.
It's multiple things.
Honestly, man. I think your addiction is really just like bad television.
No, my addiction.
I don't know if it's just like watching television.
No.
The addiction is watching the bad
television. The addiction is. I'm not watching reality TV shows, bub.
But I mean, yeah, did I watch Vanderpump last night? Yes.
I'm addicted to a variety of things.
Yes.
And I'm a hero for fighting through it. It's 2024. Where's my praise for putting down the video games this morning, for putting the TV shows to the side last night, not this morning. I didn't watch it this morning. Might later tonight. Going on Instagram only once yesterday, you know, for not going on TikTok at all. I'm doing a very good job of combating my addiction, and you're trivializing it and marginalizing me. Boop, 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 boop. Hello, HRP. I would like this man fired. I'd like him fired for marginalizing me for the struggles that I'm going through, which are really, really, really difficult, and I'm in no way being sarcastic for making fun of the people that use this as a crutch.
Rasheed Rice, soft. Under investigation for allegedly hitting a photographer at a club in Dallas? This idiot.
You have to know that when you've done something like Rasheed Rice did this offseason, that people are going to follow you around and either just try to get pictures of you, videos of you, if not bait you into doing something dumb again. He has to be smarter than this, and he also has to maintain his composure.
this is the byproduct of doing something dumb. And now that you have not even really gotten away from your 15 minutes of infamy, and this is happening right afterwards, you will be looking at a suspension of some sort for Rashee Rice. There might have been a chance he didn't get suspended after that incident, incredibly, in Dallas. But now I feel like he's looking at a fairly significant one. I would say 6 games minimum. I think before we were thinking like 4. Mm-hmm. I think 6 right now.
I would agree. If not more.
It's what we're talking about with the Ja Morant thing. It's not as many things, and it's not the same thing over and over again like it was with Ja, but it's like, yeah, dude, you got into trouble, what, a month ago? Was it last month? Has it even been a month? Has it been 3 weeks?
Right.
And you're doing this now. Like, again, just chill out, man. Like, just chill out.
Yeah, stay inside.
I feel like as we continue Soft Boys, in honor of the one time that Ime Udoka said to LeBron James, soft ass boy, stop pitching. I feel like we got to bring some of these NBA players back in. I think they'll at the very least admit that they are soft for football.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just that, per Philip Dorsett, a former wide receiver, Austin Rivers, I guess on Patrick Beverley's podcast, said that he quit after one tough practice. Charles Barkley did the same thing. Charles Barkley did it not too long ago, I believe, on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp, where he admitted, yeah, I went out for one. And he's, I think, brought this up multiple times. He said, I wasn't about that life. And I would say for the most part, basketball players don't have that ability to deal with contact and collisions, I think, as described by Mike Golic, basketball as NBA players. Right. I think that's the important thing here. It's contact versus collisions.
Yeah, it's like being tackled sucks.
Does.
Being tackled just sucks.
Does. And that's just being tackled.
Yeah.
Like there, yeah, part of it is the guys who are tough enough and athletic enough to do it. Like Anthony Edwards really is the easiest answer. I'd throw Jalen Brunson in that category. He seems like he's tough enough to play.
I don't know.
Marcus Smart.
Brunson's doing a little flop.
Yeah, Brunson does a little flop.
He flops. I mean, they all flop, though.
Part of the flopping is like, well, if it's flopping, it's not because, like, you're not getting knocked over. It's because you're trying to get a call. It's the same thing when, like,
And quarterbacks flop.
Yeah, or like in football where there's, like, someone, there's a little bit of a scuffle and then someone goes flying out of the scuffle falling down, like, just trying to get a flag, where it's like, yeah, like, I don't think Max Crosby actually went flying because, like, some offensive line put a forearm into him. It's just, he's trying to get a call.
All right, when we get back, garbage time, and maybe one of the weirdest recruiting stories I've ever seen. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, though, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. They've got 975 tall tex and margaritas. It's a fantastic spot, guys. I've been telling you about this the last couple of weeks. I love the Highway Cantina, and I try to go there once a week, not just for the margaritas and not just for the awesome food. We're not just talking your routine Tex-Mex with fajitas and salsa and chips, which are really good, but I'm talking ceviche. I'm talking about wood-fired oysters. It's so damn good. Owned by the same people who own a couple of the best restaurants and bars in the Houston area. They own Cultivari. They own Athro Flint. Easy's Liquor Lounge. Now it's Highway Cantina right smack in the middle of downtown. And look, there's a lot of options that you've got in the greater Houston area. This might be the best food city in the world. But if you're downtown, I'm telling you, this is a place that's going to blow your socks off. Take a date. Take your boss. Invite everybody out for a work happy hour if you're working downtown. Or if you would rather, I don't know, watch the baseball team play at a bar than in a stadium, why not go right down the street to the Highway Cantina? It's right smack in the middle of everything. By the basketball arena, by the baseball stadium, by the soccer stadium. It's the Highway Cantina on St. Emmanuel. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So maybe the weirdest recruiting story or just like college sports story we've seen recently. So there's a former professional baseball player. I lost his name here already. But he's 28 years old, Monte Harrison. He played... There's a photo of at least him in a Miami Marlins jersey. Okay.
Okay.
So he's 28.
Okay.
He has committed to play football at Arkansas next year.
28 years old.
Yep. So, Paul.
And we're talking about Arkansas on the rise.
Yeah. It's not over for you.
Right? I mean, didn't Arkansas just hire somebody?
No.
Oh,
they hired Bobby Petrino to be the offensive coordinator and interim coach this year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. You know what? Petrino's back. Petrino's back. The Aggies, they didn't understand how to use Bobby Petrino's skills.
They fumbled the back.
So, okay, if a 28-year-old can go back.
He and I graduated the same year in high school.
Now, this isn't the first time we've seen something totally like this. Like this article I'm reading here, like it reminded me that J.R. Smith went back to college and played golf.
Well, he never went to college, though. He went straight from high school to the league, I thought.
I think that this guy must have done the same thing then.
Yeah. So yeah. He played professionally.
So apparently, I thought once you started getting paid by a pro team, no matter what, you lost your ability to play amateur sports.
Well, Brandon Whedon also, he was a minor league
That's
pitcher
right.
for the
And then
Yankees,
he went back.
And then he went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I think Chris Winkie also the
and,
same?
Yeah, and then Whedon graduated from Oklahoma State when he was like 28, and then the Cowboys? Browns? Browns took him. So I just find this. You really want to go back to college when you're 28 years old? Like for what? You're going to play for, I'm assuming to get into the NFL. He has to play in college.
Well, maybe he just wants to play it.
Yeah, or maybe he just wants a free education.
That too.
Because obviously the minor league baseball didn't work out.
Minor league baseball is pretty miserable.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, I might need to join the workforce. Let me get a degree from Arkansas.
Yeah. If people think you're good.
Or maybe make the league.
Yeah.
When he's 31.
At 31.
Probably not. But hey, you may as well try. Arkansas is a D1 program. So
yeah, SEC, baby.
I mean, that's, yeah, like for me, I mean, I'm trying to think. Joe was joking there for a moment, obviously. Age 35, mate, is there a school where I could get on and get a scholarship from that school? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, there isn't, Joe.
100%.
What school? Like,
what, like the Texas Women's University or something like that?
Tarleton State?
And if they had a men's football program because of Title IX, that would be funny if I show up at Texas Women's University with a sign picketing for a football team.
There was something in basketball we talked about.
It was Mississippi School of Women.
And they had a men's basketball team. Maybe they have a football team.
But I don't think they're scholarship.
They're NIA, so I think they are. I think they are a scholarship team.
Mississippi College for Women. It's so funny because Texas Women's University is all women.
This one's not.
Sports. Men's sports, they do not have a football.
Okay. Because
it's probably too small of a school.
They have baseball, basketball, cross country, golf, soccer, tennis, and track and field.
Could you make the track and field team?
No.
Okay.
No, I could not.
All right. I tried, Paul. Trying to help
you. It's not happening.
I'm trying to help you achieve your dream.
I appreciate you because, we need to find something else. This addiction, it's too much.
I mean,
the Astros are feeding my addiction. Like
the addiction, the lack of responses in your DMs.
Oh, dude, I'm at rock bottom right now.
Well, speaking of rock bottom, let's get to garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Guys, in garbage time, touched on several things over the course of today's show. I feel like we should talk a little more Houston Texans now to make ourselves
sure
feel a little bit better, right?
It's garbage time. It's an Astros conversation.
So, yeah. I mean, like, the. Well, yeah. I mean, how about this is a nice day in the garbage,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
This is a nice day. I don't know, man.
What, we threw some flowers out? Like, what?
Yeah.
Someone accidentally threw out a full steak.
It's compost time.
Yeah.
Well, I did see this, and I guess this is kind of negative energy, but did you see that the Houston Texans, Tytus Howard, is a loser after this 2024 NFL draft? There's an ESPN write-up about Tytus Howard, and it says, in the modern NFL, what a player says and does on social media can make headlines or tell us how he's feeling about his status. Howard's X account isn't exactly subtle. In addition to promoting his Twitch stream, I didn't know that, his biography makes his position on positions clear. He's a right tackle only. Howard's insistence lining up at right tackle might date back to what happened last season when he was not a tackle. He played guard before going down with his own season-ending knee injury. Mm. With George Fant, leaving, and Blake Fisher now aboard the Houston Texans, that's what this write-up says.
He's a loser.
It is interesting that people, so many, believe that Tytus Howard should move inside the guard.
Where he's not good?
He's really not good at it.
Like, that's the garbage part of his game, is that left guard.
I know.
Fisher, I'd rather them figure out a way to see if Fisher can play left guard. If they're going to do something like that.
And even then, like, I mean...
He's a tackle.
Exactly.
And they drafted a backup tackle. That's what they did. And maybe he's Tytus Howard's replacement in 25. But not this year. He's a backup.
By the way, sticking to football, the roast of Tom Brady featured Kim Kardashian getting booed. Mm-hmm. Netflix has edited out the negative reaction to Kim Kardashian. Yes.
All right, so who's softest? This happening, Giselle being upset, or Aaron Hernandez's fiance being upset? Who's the softest of the three? Kim, Giselle, or...
I don't think this is Kim. I think this is Kate. This is the mom.
Okay, fair.
What's her name?
Touché.
Chris. Yeah, this is the mom.
I think Giselle.
I think Giselle's probably the softest, too. Like, why'd you leave him? He's Tom Brady. He's the god.
Well, it's also like, yeah, like, the jokes are being cracked, like, at things you did.
Yeah,
like at least with the fiance, it's like if you're still honestly, if you're still giving public comment as Aaron Hernandez's fiance, like,
would you really want that label still?
No, yeah,
dude, change your last name and don't tell your kid who your dad.
Move on.
Yeah, like, how long does fiance last? Until the marriage, I guess.
Until you get another fiance. Until you find another fiance. Guessing she still wears the ring then. All right, that does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. The Killer Bees with Joel, Jeremy, and Brian are up next. Goodbye.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.